and that is why they can space travel, while other human beings would find it more difficult to maintain themselves without having a serious physical side effect from that type of travel. D. Then they look human but they're really not. Do these type of beings come to Earth also? S. Yes, they visit here, too. D. Then it would be deceiving, wouldn't it? We would think they were human. S. Yes. You see, there are some forms that can take on many forms. They use it as a tool, to study and observe the people more closely. Some of them aren't as affected by atmospheric conditions as our type are. Those type of beings that are capable of this are very advanced. D. You mean they form a body? S. It's just like being, what you would call, a chameleon. It can change its form to blend in. They really basically are energy. If you saw them without taking on a form, it would be a liquidish type looking energy. Floating. D. Floating? Would it be solid? S. When it takes on a form it has a solidity to it. But if you saw them in their natural form, it would be more of a liquid. 262. The custodians, fluid energy type of being. Like your spirit in your body is, without the body attached to it. It would look similar. But these beings are more advanced even in their so-called original or normal condition. What we would call spiritual form is like a physical form for them, in a way. D. But they are capable of making a body. S. Yes, they do manifest things very easily, because they're very advanced. D. It seems there's much we don't know about. S. There are many forms. Just as on your planet alone there are many forms of living things. Many species, insects, animal species, plant life. You know, it's hard for one person to name all of a different type of species. So if you can look at it in that way, you'd see that in the universe there are many, many forms out there, too. And even on other planets there are many other types and forms of life. There are insect life, plant life, which are very different from your planet. D. You said when they do take a human being on board, put them in a trance state. And this is to adjust them to the environment in addition to protecting their psyche. Would that be right? S. Consciousness. D. Their consciousness? S. Their psyche, too, yes. D. I always thought it was a kindness that sometimes people don't remember these experiences, so it wouldn't disrupt their normal life. S. It is to protect them from coming out of the experience in a full state of, what she would call, shock. Our purpose is not to harm the individual, so we wouldn't want to incur such an experience on them. D. But it's also so they can adapt to the atmosphere. S. Yes, it is a combination. D. But they can only hold the trance state for so long, and then they would have to come out of it. S. Yes. That is why most of them are returned very quickly. The aliens speak. 263. Time is almost stopped, as you know it. These are things can happen in the blinking of an eye. Time can be altered, and things can happen that are hard for man to comprehend at this stage of development. But that is why these different beings have the experience. Even as this channel had an experience, it was in almost the blinking of the eye that many things took place. Because time was altered in the human being's mind. But in our mind it has not really altered. It's just natural. Chuckle. D. It's natural to you anyway. I've often thought a type of hypnosis was used on the individual. S. It's a telepathic transmission sent to that individual's consciousness. Something they are capable of receiving. Also there are different points in the brain that can be stimulated. Like an opiate, she would call it. To produce that sort of effect. If the energy is pushed onto a certain part of the brain, it can produce a trance type state. This type of consciousness is similar to what is happening now. That is why you can do what you are doing now in a hypnotic state, as you call it. A certain part of the consciousness has been stimulated by a form of communication by a form of energy. It's similar, but this energy is a much higher velocity, it's stronger. That part of the being's brain would be much more strongly stimulated than it would in this type of trance state. Some people do have partial memories, and other people do have flashbacks in dream state, and then others remember nothing at all after these experiences. S. The reason for this is because every being's brain is a little different. And it is going to react a little differently than another being's brain. The basic setup is similar, but these positions where the pressure points are in a person's head, are a little different in each person. Just slightly altered. The different cellular structure and the chemicals that go through a person's brain will be altered by what that person does. The drugs that person has ingested, the food that person takes. If somebody's hit their head, there is a fluid in. 264. The custodians, the brain that has to adjust to it. If there's a concussion, etc., etc., medical conditions also affect the brain. Intoxicants taken into it affect the flowing of the fluids. All these are factors in how that person will react to that type of experience. That is why some have better recall than others. Because when that energy is pushed into that person's brain, some will adjust to it differently than another. That's why some will remember and have more recall and others won't. Also, it depends on the level of development of their consciousness. What they're willing to accept and deal with. While others are afraid of re-coming into touch with an experience like that, they're more likely to hide that total experience from themselves, because they're afraid to face it. D. So it's very individual. S. Yes, it is. D. But it's interesting that we're able to have access to these memories by the use of hypnosis. S. It's stimulation of certain points and cells in the brain. D. Memory banks or what? I've always been curious about how it works. S. There are electrical transmissions. It's like electrical nerves are transmitted across different parts of the brain. There are parts of human beings' brains that store data, information. Other parts are used for creativity and manifesting ideas. But it's like an electrical current darting across to reach another end of a thread. I know that, physically speaking, that's what it would look like if you could see it. D. When a person is put into a trance and taken on the ship, does this produce blocks within the mind? S. Blocks of consciousness to protect that individual. An experience like that can be very upsetting to a being that's not used to having those type of experiences. So just as someone who has, say, a car injury, or has an accident, their brain automatically protects itself from certain types of pain that person is going to experience. It automatically, the aliens speak, 265, puts it into a different state of consciousness. That is why some people have an out-of-the-body experience. Their consciousness is trying to protect itself from the horror, as you might call it, or the fright of that experience. It protects itself in a similar fashion as an out-of-the-body experience. D. That makes sense to me. But then hypnosis can go around these protective blocks. S. They open these closed doors. D. But I do know it only happens if the person is willing. S. Yes. The will is what keeps the door slightly ajar. D. If they don't want to remember or to experience. S. Then they close it. People that have these type of alien experiences have a connection with this, or it usually does not occur. Their desire is the first for an experience like that to happen. They want to expand their consciousness. They may not admit it, but they're ready for that experience before it will happen. D. Yes, I believe that. Well, I really appreciate everything you've been telling me. I would like permission to come again and speak to you. May I do that? S. Yes. I will be able to give you better description of things in time when she's more used to this type of transmission. D. I think you've done very well today. S. I'm just barely integrated in her energy field, just barely. We have already made an agreement to communicate through this vehicle. We want to be of assistance and help. D. And I thank you for allowing us to speak to you. S. Thank you. I then brought Suzanne back to full consciousness. I was interested to find out what she experienced as the alien being spoke through her. I turned the tape recorder back on. S. As soon as I woke up, I remembered seeing a being with a white head, no hair at all. But I see big, dark eyes. It was staring at me. Really looking at me. It seemed to be, 266- the custodians, communicating with me on other levels than I spoke about. And it was emitting certain things to me beyond what I could convey verbally. and I got a real sense of presence of his head, how it was peering at me, while I was becoming more conscious. There was a definite contact made with this particular being, and there was a very strong energy. I still feel part of that energy in my head right now. D, but it's a good feeling, isn't it? S, it's a comforting feeling. Yeah, I mean it feels good. But it's very strong, almost trance-like. D, and that's all you remember right now, was that he was staring at you? S, right now. She said this being seemed to be putting a lump of information into her head and scanning her brain. Much more was inserted than she told me. When asked how to contact him again, he showed her a symbol of a triangle. She called it a pyramid and didn't seem to know the meaning it had for me. This symbol has been seen in many abduction experiences, usually on board a craft or on an insignia. Suzanne was not frightened by this experience. She felt exhilarated and excited. She had the feeling it was not a matter of giving the information to the wrong people, but why bother giving it to someone who wouldn't know what to do with it? She felt something physical when he said he was scanning me. I felt a prickly scalp feeling, like when your scalp is falling asleep. The 267, 267. The next session with Suzanne was held at the first MUFON UFO conference in Eureka Springs in March 1987. This was the only time the conference was sponsored by MUFON. The next year Lou Farish and Ed Mazur took it over, and have called it the Ozark UFO Conference ever since. The main presenters at this conference were retired military investigators in the original Blue Book and Grudge projects, so it was geared towards skepticism, and official denial of the whole UFO phenomena. More interesting experiments were taking place away from the conference hall. Lou was the only person I was sharing information with about my fledgling cases. As I took my first baby steps into this type of investigation, I had to have someone I could trust to discuss these cases with, and to bounce theories off of. Lou proved to be that person, and he has never betrayed my trust in all the years we have worked together. He knew about the surprise twist of my regression session with Suzanne. Lou Farish said he would like to sit in on a session and ask questions, as he had in other meetings in Fayetteville and Mena. We thought this would be the best chance, at this conference, since everyone would be together in one place. Many other people also expressed interest. This would certainly be a change of pace from the hours of official denial we had endured at the conference. Suzanne was naturally nervous about the session, because she had never done this in public before. This contributed to an uneasy situation as we went to the motel room after the conference had ended for the night. She became more nervous when she saw the crowd that was gathering. She asked several of them to leave. We tried to do this in a discreet way so they would not be offended. There were still about 10 people present in the motel room. Most were investigators I had met at the other meetings, but one was John Johnson, a blacking psychologist who later worked with me on UFO cases. In the years that followed, he became indispensable as I groped my way in a field where there were few experts in the 1980s. We were all learning from each other, and from our own mistakes. 268. The custodians. John gave the impression of a quiet, reserved gentleman. He was not talkative, and sat quietly observing. Not knowing him, I was afraid that the idea of communicating to an alien through a girl in trance might be too far out for him. I was more concerned about what he would think than the others, because they had all been exposed to the type of work I do. But he surprised me by saying he believed in reincarnation, and understood what was going on. He was working with dying patients in the veteran hospitals, so he was definitely into the metaphysical way of thinking. I was pleasantly surprised and relaxed as we prepared for the session. I turned my attention to Suzanne. I was a little concerned about the results, since this was the first time she would be put into trance before so many people. I had no idea what would come forth. She was apparently worried also, because she began breathing deeply in an attempt to relax. She needn't have worried, because I knew the keyword would do the job with little effort on her part. The lights in the room were disturbing her, so we turned them all off and opened the bathroom door to allow that light to shine in. Thus, everyone sat quietly in a semi-darkened room, waiting for whatever was to occur. I used the keyword and counted her to the scene where we had spoken to the being, in hopes of finding him again. If we were successful, I intended to repeat some questions I had already asked, for the benefit of the investigators in the room. D, I will count to three, and on the count of three we will be there, back at that scene. 1, 2, 3. We've gone back to that scene again. What are you doing and what do you see? I was surprised by a commanding tone of voice. Be specific. It was almost as though we had intruded or interrupted someone. I was taken off guard. D, be specific? All right. The last time we spoke I was trying to find out more about you and the aircraft. The aliens speak. 269. The mood changed suddenly and the tone of voice was very soft. What do you want to know? Then louder and almost impatiently, what information are you seeking? D, you told me the craft you're on now has only one room. Is that correct? S, the one you referred to before? D, yes. Or where are we now? S, I'm inside a craft. I am not always on the same craft that we have spoken about before. I transfer occasionally. So some crafts are used for different purposes. D, the one you are on at the present time, what is that used for? S, what you might refer to as a scouting craft. It is used to observe. I am trying to speak with her consciousness. It is a bit of adjustment for her. The energy is different, and she's trying to adjust. D, okay. But remember, no harm to the vehicle. S, no harm. D, it takes a while to get used to it, doesn't it? He apparently didn't want to beat around the bush and engage in small talk, but wanted to get down to business. What do you want to know? D, all right. You said the craft is used for scouting? What type of function do you mean? S, mechanically, to observe, to monitor beings. All types of life forms. D, why do you do this? S, this data is sent many light years beyond this planet to a home base planet. It is then analyzed again by other beings there. I merely send it there. I get as much information as possible that I am capable of communicating. We have a communication device that makes it easy for us to send information long distances. D, what type of device is this? How is it powered? 270, the custodians. S, it is probably difficult for you to understand it completely. We are very telepathic type beings. We can mentally send information very far. But we also have a sound device. A vibrational sound is emitted and sent. Sound travels farther than you might have discovered. There are ways of sending it farther. We have a tube of a metallic, as you would call it, type substance. Vibrational sound is kind of pushed into it, and pushed out through it. It must be focused in a certain direction to a certain location, a certain vibratory spot, which we set our dials at. And it is immediately transferred there. There is, what you would call, a bit of a time lapse because of the distance. Sometimes a matter of what you would call days before it would actually reach there. There was some disruption in the room as one of the people started coughing and got up and went into the adjoining room. My attention was distracted. D, and this is powered by this sound directed into it? S, and a message encoded into the sound. Like you have a Morse code, similar. Does that make sense to you? D, yes, it does. Although we wouldn't understand the sound, I can understand the concept. This was the same concept Phil had presented in Keepers of the Garden, that some alien communication was sent over long distances by tones. D, I think you told me before there was a pole, an antenna-like device on the other planet? Is that correct? S, it is a receiver for these messages. There is a sender type of pole and a receiving type of, what you would call a flagpole. A very tall metallic cylinder. It's sent to that exact location, to the exact same vibratory position. That's why it will end up there and not be misplaced. As an antenna receives a radio transmission, this is used in a, the aliens speak, 271, similar fashion, as a receptor tuned into that frequency. D, and you say the information was decoded at the other end, and put into your files? That you were keeping records on different life forms? S, well, we don't keep files as you do. It is kept in our, what you might call, a memory bank. That information, once it's there, is never forgotten. It can be recalled very easily. We don't have to put it in a book. We do have places where we store different samples of things. They are kept in a certain location in, what you might call, an underground type of container, to protect it from the elements of our planet. D. Are all the records of Earth contained there? S. We are not concerned with all the records of Earth. We have what we want from Earth, and many other planetary systems. We just get what we're interested in. We don't need it all. We can figure out many of the life forms here already. It's very easy for us. D. Is it all right if other people ask you questions? S. One will try to answer them, too, to the best of my ability in this combined energy state. I thought the people would want to question aloud, as they had at other sessions, but some began handing me notes. It was difficult to read them in the semi-darkness. I read the first question, how are you able to physically transverse these vast distances? S. There are many different methods of transference of energies. Electromagnetic, thought, and others that all accomplish the same task. In many instances there is simply the transference from one dimensional reality to another. Also there is simply the mental adjustment that allows that energy in the control of those who are commanding this ship to simply do as is told. That is, as in thought transference. You need only place yourself mentally in one area to be there. As your awareness and, 272, the custodian's, understanding of your realities expands, you shall see that your mental power can have a direct influence on those physical objects around you. Such that when those objects are resonating at your identical mental frequency, then you have absolute control over that physical object. Your world, as it is now, is somewhat scattered in its frequencies such that there are no two resonating alike. However, when these materials are in resonance with that mental energy, then they too are transferred with this mental energy. They simply appear and disappear according to those thought commands which control them. You will be given that technology, for thought propulsion of craft, in short order. However, the council at this point has no way of allowing you this technology until such time as you have progressed to a more responsible level. You have already jeopardized your entire planet's existence with your nuclear energy. You know not what you do, however you do it anyway. We would ask that you please not jeopardize the rest of the universe with it. I read the next question, what type of information are you gathering about human beings on Earth? S. Human beings are special and unique in many ways. That's why we are trying to assist them at this time. We also are interested in the planet itself. Environmental changes occurring on it. The beings are less advanced, almost animalistic at times, but there is much hope for these beings. They are developing, advancing rapidly, with our assistance. We have been working with Earth beings for a long time. We influence telepathically, through dream states, to help man advance technologically, scientifically, to come to what men might call emotional maturity. Emotions cause great havoc for man, until he learns how to master them, control them. He must learn how to propel himself with his positive energies, and how to transmute the negative energies. The negative energies are emotions. The aliens speak, 273, anger, jealousy, these type of emotions that you are familiar with. These are man's downfall. These hold man back from progressing. The positive emotions propel him into advancement. But this may take some time for the whole planet to come to this realization. D. Reading. The type of being that you are. Do you have emotions? S. Not as you do. There is a feeling of closeness between our beings when they want to. What you call reproduce. A being will bond with another being for this purpose. But we are not hung up with these emotions, as you are. There is not the attachment. We are more detached, because these emotions can be an obstacle for advancement. It is not in our nature to let a feeling stop us from advancing. Some other space beings are fascinated by these emotions, just because they don't experience them in the same way. They are curious, but they see it as almost an obstacle. They think it can be helpful. It depends on how you want to use those, what you call, feelings. If they're used in a positive way, they can help the being advance. It's up to the individual. D. I was wondering if you understood emotions as we know them. S. We observe them in other beings. We understand enough for what we need to know. But we see men as energy channels, as an energy. There are spinning vortexes in a human body that channel all different types of energies surrounding him. Many beings aren't aware of this. Was he referring to the chakras in the body? They're often spoken of as spinning, and they have to spin or function in harmony in order for the body to maintain a healthy balance. S. But we think there is hope for man. He is a special being. If he can use his potential, his gifts, more fully, he can advance in many ways that will benefit himself and the whole universe. 274. The custodians. D. That sounds very good. Are you sexual beings then? S. We are androgynous. Either one of us could reproduce, in other words. D. I am curious about that. Do you mean you would take turns at the different sexes, or do you have both sexes in one body? S. Telepathically in our case. We mentally project an image of what is to grow. It's not growing as in growing older. But there is a swelling in the, what we would call, stomach region. The younger being is formed in a very short period of time compared to what a human being will endure for this. And when the being comes out through the stomach type area, as you would call it, it immediately seals back again. There is no surgery necessary or incision. It is all done mentally. The beings come out a little smaller in size. And then they come to a stationary size and remain there, as long as atmospheric conditions are kept a certain way. D. Then you just decide when you want to reproduce. It's not an automatic thing. S. It's a mutual decision between two beings as to which one would want to. We can trade off, so to speak. It does not matter. But our beings are very advanced at a very young age. As soon as they can walk, they are shown galaxy maps, and become immediate star travelers. That is our nature. We are very advanced in that area. D. I guess I'm curious about emotions. Do you have any type of feeling toward these young, these children? S. Not in the same way you do. D. Do you have a nurturing? S. There is a nurturing, a teaching desire, but it's not emotional. It's just instinctual for us. The teaching instinct. To teach the young to maturity. And our young automatically learn what they need to. It is ingrained in their makeup, in my makeup. It's just what you need to know, and the evolvement just comes out. It's very easy. There's an instinct to teach, to advance. There is not the aliens speak, 275, nurturing type instinct. It is not the same. Although if one of our beings is injured or harmed in any way, there is a type of feeling sent out. It's not really a sadness, as you would call it, but there is a vibration sent out. There is a yearning for that being to be complete again, but it is not sadness as you know it. And something, if possible, will be done to help prepare that being, if that does happen. D. I'm trying to understand how you are alike and how you are different from us. You would never have any negative emotions, like anger? No, I was handed another note. What is the most common type of being that is visiting our Earth at this time? A physical extraterrestrial being, S. The humanoid subgroup of. I cannot find a translatable equivalent, however, there are subgroups of the general category of humanoid. There are many that are identical to your physical bodies. The seeding that was done on your planet was of this nature. And there are those that are distantly related, yet very unconventional by your standards. This type, the distant cousin, is the more prevalent of the visitation type. The androids, as you might call them, are simply workers who volunteered for this mission. They removed themselves from that area in which they were programmed, to volunteer their services in this accomplishment. I hesitate to use the word experiment, for the outcome is already predicted and known. However, not to say mission, for the majority of the work, I find I must discontinue this line of discourse. I'm being told there is arising a misunderstanding of the intent of the direction taken. The information given has been misconstrued as aggressive and not of a helping nature. We would not wish to promote the idea that we come as conquerors. However, as helpers. D. You mentioned that the outcome was already known. Can you tell us what you mean by that? 276. The custodians, s. The ultimate outcome, not the individual and personal outcomes, which each of you must create in your own fashion. D. What is the ultimate outcome?